transformational change. Real people, real pain, real hopelessness, real healing. Witness firsthand the challenges that men and women from around the world faced head on, and how through their adversity they became stronger and happier. Battling a life-threatening illness, surviving an abusive relationship, overcoming addiction, suffering the heartbreaking loss of a child, wrestling with self-sabotaging thoughts, losing and finding love. These are just a few of the transformational stories that will encourage you and change your perspective in chaos to clarity. A global voice of the contributing authors bears their souls for you. Their unfettered honesty is a gift to all and connects us to the butterfly effect of universal oneness. Just as the flapping of a tiny wing can change weather patterns around the world, a small inspiration may impart positively on another's life. The tears shed from these stories may make waves on distant shores, and your peals of laughter may become someone's breath of life. Change is part of the natural order of life. In this inspirational book, authors Caganello and Canevas offer their expertise on the spirituality and psychology of change and explain why change is not only necessary, it's good for you. Welcome to the heart of our shared humanity. Discover hope for the future and a blueprint for your life in these life-changing pages. I'm Richard Dugan, your host on this special edition, a month-long look at the book, Chaos to Clarity. The entire month is devoted to authors from this book to help you and encourage you. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And keep this in mind. I have declared the year 2020, the year of perfect vision. So, let's go from chaos to clarity. Let's go from change to perfect vision here in 2020. The entire month of January, stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. Now, let's go find out about change in chaos to clarity. And welcome to this edition of Tell Me Your Story, focusing on the aspects of chaos to clarity in this, the year of perfect vision 2020. We thank you so much for joining us, and we certainly hope that you will support us in that particular endeavor to make your vision perfect. And I'm not talking about ophthalmological or optometry. Or through your optometrist. we'll get it right. It is inner vision was what we're talking about. Have perfect inner vision here in 2020. And how appropriate it is to have that conversation when talking about this particular work that we are focusing on today, having to do with chaos to clarity. Chaos to Clarity is the title of the book, Sacred Stories of Transformation. And today we are going to focus on one of the authors, as we have been doing throughout the month of January 2020, talking about Gifts Within a Sacred Wound. And the author is Glenda Ray Riviere. I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. You also have some work under the category of the words of wisdom having to do with From the Old Paradigm to Self-Realization. I think what we'll do is we'll start with your first piece, and that is The Gift Within a Sacred Wound. And first of all, describe for us what a sacred wound is.
Thank you. Yes, so many years ago, I experienced a powerful, transformational, life-changing experience where I nearly passed away. And in that experience, I commanded the sacred wound is what created the manifestation of the physical illness and disharmony, which led to the near-death experience. And in that experience, I commanded to be shown another way to heal, to transform, to empower my life. And so within the wound, within the, you know, the disharmony from an early childhood experience that manifested in that physical wound. So as a child, I had an experience of not being seen or heard and hid behind a curtain in fear of what would happen if I spoke and shared my thoughts and feelings and emotions and expressed my truths. And so all of that energy that was not expressed as a child and a, you know, a teenager growing up had to, quote, go somewhere because it was not expressed. So it went into the body and manifested as the illness and near-death experience. So that was the wound. And, you know, if I may go on to say, the gift within the wound, and that's why it's sacred. So the old, everything is probably going to just unfold into everything as I speak because it's all connected. So the old paradigm, you know, the old paradigm is like that we can manifest disharmony in our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies. And that would happen if we did not learn the lesson from the experience. But that doesn't have to happen anymore. I've learned that you can integrate the lesson of an experience in the moment. So it does not get trapped into the body and manifest as physical disharmony, mental, emotional, spiritual, personal, any kind of disharmony in the body, whether that's a physical illness or something different in another form. So we don't need to do that anymore. We can integrate through self-realization by simply having the pure intent to call forth the lesson of an experience. So, you know, whenever we experience any kind of disharmony in our lives, we can simply be curious about asking if I knew the lesson, the medicine. What is this experience begging for me to realize, to receive the message, to receive the lesson, to receive the message within the physical pain or emotional or spiritual or any kind of disharmony? When we have the pure intent to ask for the lesson, we can integrate that information in that lesson. And once we integrate that with simply our intent, we don't even need to quote unquote know what it is. You likely will have some awareness of what it is, but you don't need to know what the lesson is necessarily to integrate the lesson, the information. And then the healing is spontaneous because we've learned what we needed to learn, but we don't need to do that. We don't need to create the disharmony anymore. We can simply have the experience, call forth the lesson, and integrate the lesson, not casting blame, pointing fingers at, you know, outside of ourselves and blaming others for what we are experiencing, because that's very disempowering. Everything is within us. All the answers, all the information is within us. And so that empowers us. We're fully empowered. We have all of our power to heal.
How do we access that information, that inner wisdom?
How do we access that inner wisdom? You know, it's like knowing and trusting that everything comes from within. Everything that we need to know, everything that we could use as a tool to help us in our life in some way, everything is already within us. And so it's like telling ourselves every day, which is also telling our subconscious that we know, that we have the answers. It's within us. So in that empowerment, in knowing that we know, by asking with the pure intent from our heart, by simply asking, if I knew the message of this experience, this wisdom, this teaching, this lesson, this medicine, whatever, however you choose to phrase it, if I knew what it was, what would I know it to be? And receive what you receive.
Mm-hmm.
Receive in knowing that you've received it. Trust that you've received it, even though you may not have any kind of, like, you can't explain what it is. It doesn't matter. You've received it on some level. So, you know, an example of that, you know, with my mother, you know, as a child, I experienced a very different mother. I wasn't seen or heard or acknowledged. It's like I didn't exist. So as a child, I did not know what to do. And that was my experience. But through the challenging near-death experience in commanding to be shown another way, different healing modalities literally showed up in my life. Alternative healing modalities like Reiki and theta healing, reconnective healing, healing with the animal spirit wisdom of the horses. And I explored various modalities that I resonated with. And through that exploration, I found my voice, the voice that I did not speak as a child.
And go ahead.
And yes, you were going to ask me something?
Well, I was going to ask about that voice that you speak of, that voice that finally emerged. We hear that term a lot, people, quote unquote, finding their voice.
Yes.
And sometimes it's literally after decades.
Yes. And for me, it was. So it was, you know, I found my voice, meaning that for me, that it was like I gave myself permission to finally be heard, to share what was deep inside of me. And, you know, because the only one that can truly, what came into my awareness was that the only one that can truly see me, acknowledge me, hear me, love me is myself. Not going outside of myself and asking my mother to give me that. As a child, of course, I didn't know that. But through this exploration of these different modalities, I found my voice. I began speaking those inner truths inside of me, the wisdom that I had gleaned from my journey, whatever was in my heart that longed to be shared, I started sharing it. And it literally came out of my mouth through a pen onto the paper. It came through the voice, through the sound, through sharing words and wisdom, but also that wisdom came through onto paper. And stories were written, books were written, articles were written. And that, it was so incredibly healing to share that which is inside of me, because that is the medicine. That is the healing, not only for myself, but for others. Because when other people read that and hear that, on some level, they are going to receive wisdom to assist them in their life. And it's such authentic power and medicine, because it's from my journey. It's from what I learned from my experience. Because I cannot ask someone to speak their truth if I don't speak mine. So that's why sharing these messages and wisdom and lessons and empowerment, whatever that is, what is inside of me, is so is healing for all. Healing for one is healing for all. So now I experience a very different mother.
Yeah,
because I healed the relationship to the mother within myself, to the child within myself, to that mother-child relationship within myself. By accepting myself and loving myself more deeply and speaking my truths, that was healed. And so my experience of my mother was very different. She now sees me, acknowledges me, hears me, and empowers me, because I gave myself permission to give that to myself. Because the outside reality is simply a reflection. It's a reflection of what's going on inside of us.
Wow. It's something that we are all looking for, the reconnection. And I know that in life, as well as in drama, and when I say drama, I'm speaking of movies and television, the one key that always comes usually at the end, because obviously if this came at the beginning, the program would be 5 minutes long, if that, and that is the communication. To try to reconcile a relationship. And I can honestly say that there isn't anyone in my life, including my ex-wife, who I have difficulties talking with, but needless to say that I have that kind of disconnect with, that I don't want to have anything. You know, you hear this phrase, "You're dead to me." You know, and people, they say, "Oh, I can never talk to my father ever again because blah 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 blah," or my mother, or my brother, or my sister, or whoever it happens to be. And it's like, yeah, but you're only hurting yourself.
Exactly. Because when we point a finger at someone, we've got three fingers pointed at ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the disharmony is within ourselves in that relationship. It's not in the other. The other is you. So when we realize that, when we accept that, it's not good or bad. It's not, "Oh my goodness, I'm a bad person." No, not at all. It's simply acknowledging that there's some level of disharmony within you that has created that experience with that relationship with that other person, which is you.
Mm-hmm.
So with that empowerment then, with that awareness, we can say, "Okay, I wonder, is this experience asking me to love that aspect of myself that I am experiencing through that other person as a reflection? Oh, yes. I see. I I am not allowing myself to integrating that aspect of that other person, that how they're showing up, and accepting it and loving it more within yourself.
Mm.
Because we are all of it and none of it. If someone shows up in anger and we point to a finger and we go, why are you angry? Why are you bellowing at me? I didn't do anything. Why are you this way? What you're really saying is, what is really calling is, I wonder how I can love that aspect of myself more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can love that anger within myself. Love it. Nurture it. Accept it. It doesn't mean that we project it onto other people. No, we just love that within ourselves. And the loving and the acceptance of it is the healing. That's the healing.
Yeah. So
it's like more like a thank you. More like thank you for showing up and mirroring that aspect of myself so that I can love that aspect of myself more. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I find that very interesting, especially considering the fact that we are all connected. Whether the individual is in a place of consciousness and awareness that we are all connected, it doesn't matter. We are. It's the same as there is oxygen in the air that you're taking in and carbon dioxide that you're breathing out. I don't care that you can't see it. That's the reality according to science. And even according to science, we're all connected, whether you choose to believe that or not. Because we're all made of the same stuff to start with. Are you at all familiar with, I use this analogy quite often to describe this connectedness of this character in the science fiction series called Star Trek, The Next Generation. And the character is the Borg. And what it is, of course, is this a group of individuals. Don't know how it all got started, quite honestly, but it did. And the process by which they grow is to assimilate other civilizations, other individuals, and then they outfit them with the necessary hardware, if you will. And within that hardware, they're all connected via, let's just say, Wi-Fi. And they're getting, and they communicate through this Wi-Fi, this unseen connection. Each one of them is carrying out a different task, but they're all working toward the same goal. And that's how I see us as spiritual beings within these human bodies, that even though we're individuals and we all look differently and live differently and think differently, we're all connected. We can communicate with one another towards that common goal if we choose to do so, if we choose to awaken and raise our consciousness to that level where we recognize that fact. I know that I'm sure that you've experienced this in relationships or maybe even in the work that you do, where it's almost like not a word has to be spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what this person is in need of. You know where this person's coming from an emotional level as an empath, I'm sure. My wife is an empath who finds it very difficult sometimes working in certain circumstances. She has difficulty in that regard, but nonetheless, she recognizes her empathic ways and she picks up on this. And it frustrates me sometimes because she wants to know what's going on. I'm fine. I really am. But obviously there's something there, or maybe she's picking up on someone else in the near vicinity. So talk to us about that aspect of our inseparable connectedness.
Our inseparable connectedness. I mean, yes, we're absolutely, we are all connected. You know, it's like, It's I mean, it's a concept. It's hard to explain in a sense. It's almost like you need to experience it in order to really appreciate it. So, for example, you know, years ago, I was walking in a forest and I found myself all of a sudden freezing and stopping. And I turned and there's all these beautiful, tall, ancient trees all around me. And I literally froze. And what came into my awareness without trying to understand it or make sense of it, I felt it in my body. I felt it in my soul. It was just profound. And what it felt like, if I could explain it in words, was that I was the tree and the tree was me. There was no separation between me and that tree. I felt like the tree. It was just, it was profound. And what, you know, in later reflecting on that, it's like, it was like the, I was being shown how I embody that oneness, that I am living that and I am embodying that oneness and that connection. And it's not something that you can, I don't feel it's something that you can try to, you can intellectually understand that, yeah, we're all one. But whether that means you actually experience that oneness is a whole other level. So I feel like what I was being shown is that I am living that oneness and embodying that oneness. And so what began to happen for me is that I would connect with anything, whether it be a crystal, an animal, a pet, a plant, and I'd start communicating with that being. And it was like there was no difference between myself and that being. It's like I became one with the being and received information that was coming through whatever it was I was connecting with.
There was a scientist back in the last century, an Indian scientist by the name of Bose, and he invented a crescograph that was able to measure the emotional response, if you will, by plants to stimuli. And so he would hook it up to the plant, yeah. And it was measuring what's referred to as the Turgor pressure, or yes, similar to our blood pressure. And he used chloroform, and he would put chloroform over the plant, a leaf or what have you, and you could see the crescograph, you could see the gauge going down, 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 down. He'd remove it, and it would come back up again, and so forth. And what he proved, at least to my satisfaction, was that plants are living, breathing, because they're taking in that carbon dioxide and then they're expelling the oxygen, which is a wonderful exchange for us. But he proved that they are affected by outer stimuli. And what that made me think of is the vegetarian who says, I don't want to eat animals because, you know, the whole connection, and they're living beings and they have emotions and so forth. And I'm thinking, okay, now you have this evidence that they are living beings, the plants. Now what are you going to eat? And I think that what really struck me was the fact that if we go into that aspect of feeding our bodies, fueling our bodies with a respect for whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is that we eat from that standpoint. If we go into it with a respect and honoring the gift that these, I'm going to say, beings, if you will, have given us to sustain us, that makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. So when I am preparing my food and sitting down about to be nourished by my food, it's become part of me now. It's like I don't even need to do it anymore because it's already done, because I'm living it, you know? So it's like I will sit down with my food and bless all the energies involved in its creation. Send love and gratitude to all the energies involved in its creation. And then command that I absorb what is for my highest good, and I donate the rest to Mother Earth and those in need. So I'm energetically feeding the world through that which does not serve me. And it is such a powerful blessing. I believe that that energetic blessing raises the vibration of the food. And also, so you're absorbing a higher vibration and you're feeding the world at the same time. It's incredible. So, yeah. It's like, again, changing that relationship too. So if I see something as not healthy, let's say I imagine or I think or I feel that this food is not healthy. If simply in that perception, that's exactly what that food's going to be. However, if I bless it and imagine that all of those energies of that food are aligning with my vibration and are for my highest good.
I know that in...
I truly believe I can harmonize the energy of that food so right. that is there's anything in there that's not beneficial, it's neutralized, and that it whatever is beneficial is enhanced.
We're talking with Glenda Ray Rivera, and we're talking about her work in the Chaos to Clarity series of articles, or stories, should we say, stories, sacred stories of transformation. And we are also talking about so many other things, especially the work that she is doing. We're going to get into that as well. You know, one of the things that has occurred to me, too, in your explanation there, when I was training to be a Reiki master, one of the things that we were taught was to Reiki our food. Mm-hmm. You know, to bless it and so forth and infuse it with that energy, to which I thought, okay, if that is something that I can do, then does it really make any difference what I eat? Now, should I also make the right choices and try to eat as healthfully as I can to nourish my body? But at the same time, there is not always a guarantee. I've said this about organic food, that anybody can stick a label on anything and call it whatever they want. As a matter of fact, there have been a few produce manufacturers who got caught doing just that. And so I'm thinking, all right, well, here's where Reiki would come in handy, you know, to, so to speak, protect oneself. You infuse it with that energy so that it will nourish your body, and any of those toxins will just go right on out. This aspect of using our intention, our yes. consciousness, our awareness, and whatever modality you want to call the universal energy, the divine force, etc., that is, from your perspective, is that a crucial aspect to transforming our lives as well as the lives of others around us?
Oh, intent is everything. Mm-hmm. Intent is everything. So when I am having facilitating a healing session for someone or a group of people, or any experience in my life, even for this experience right here in this interview, I create what I call a I call a success network container, or the pure intent that for the highest good of all of the group or the experience, whatever and whoever is involved, that it unfold, preserving the maximum harmony and alignment of all, and assist in the transformation and empowerment of Mother Earth and all of her beings. So I have this pure intent and hold that sacred space for the experience is unbelievably powerful. So intent for absolutely anything that we are experiencing, that we are creating, that we are a part of, is it's everything. The pure intent from your heart is powerful sacred space. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Whatever is meant to unfold, to transform, to be empowered, is going to happen organically with that pure intent.
Well, I know that when we do tap into that part of who we really are, it makes all the difference in the world. There's no question. And to that end, and I found this really an interesting a conversation I had with one of my guests some time ago, and I brought up the issue of, I said, so do you think that there'll come a point where we'll finally get to the point where we'll finally know who we really are? And they said, no. What we will do is we will get to the point where we will finally know who we have always been. To that question, who have we always been? Aside from the wonderful cliche or platitude of we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Does it go beyond that?
So I believe that we are infinite beings, ever creating ourselves anew. So we're not defined by anything or anyone or any word or anything. We are this infinite being that is literally multidimensional in that we can connect with different realms of existence to receive information. The stars, the moon, the plants, the planets, everything, and higher realms of existence beyond this earth plane. We're multidimensional. We are infinite, meaning that we cannot be defined as anything. That's why I don't like any kind of label. Mm-hmm. I don't like to give what I offer a name. I mean, I do, because people like to have a sense of what you're offering. However, and I don't, I even my website is called Reiki and Beyond at GlendaRae.com, because it is so beyond Reiki. It is organic. It's, you can't plan for what it is going to be, what it is, because it unfolds organically, just like this video. This interview, we're multidimensional, we're infinite, we're ever recreating ourselves anew. We're always tapping into creativity that we didn't even know resided within us. You know, discovering new gifts that we have inside of us, new talents, wisdom. It's like examples. So let's say you get up in the morning and you feel like wearing all black. Mm-hmm. And you wear all black. And you wear all black for, you know, a long time. It's like you seem to wear a lot of black. I feel that what you're really sort of being called to do then is to wear the opposite of that. Because what we're doing is we're expressing different aspects of ourselves And through that expression of different aspects of ourselves, which is infinite, we integrate more into the wholeness of who we are. So we're not defined as anything. We're not defined as, you know, you're an author, you're a healer, you're a writer, you're an artist, you're this and you're that. Well, sure, you may bring different gifts through those expressions, sure. But you are far beyond any of those labels. You cannot be defined.
Glenda Ray, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this series that we have been putting together. I'm wanting to get some insight from you as to your thoughts on this aspect that, I know, again, I'm the one that called it this, not anybody else. I kind of came up with it several months ago. I thought, you know, we got this new year coming, and we get new years coming all the time. I was born legally blind. I had 20/400 in my left eye, which eventually, I lost all the sight through glaucoma. I now have 20/50 in my right eye with corrective lenses, and now I'm driving, originally with 20/200. And the thought occurred to me, well, why don't we call this upcoming year, 2020, the year of perfect vision? Can you share with us your thoughts? Granted, you haven't had a lot of time to think about it necessarily, but I know you have some thoughts on what insights you might give in terms of people working towards having that perfect inner vision for themselves to facilitate that transformational process that I think is part of the greater works Jesus spoke about in the New Testament.
So how I would speak to that is, you know, connecting with our higher consciousness and our higher wisdom. And there's no right or wrong way to do that. You know, I explore different ways of doing that, and I can share that with you. However, and I feel that it is very individual in how you connect with your higher consciousness, your pure intent to connect with your higher consciousness, which your higher consciousness to me is your higher wisdom, which is your higher vision, your higher purpose, your higher calling, beyond what the mind that analyzes, that rationalizes, that justifies, that makes reasons for, that it makes justifications for, dismisses things, acknowledges things. The mind does that. Mm-hmm. But beyond the mind, connecting with our higher consciousness that knows everything, knows what's for our highest good. It's like a higher intuitive intelligent guidance system, and it sees beyond the physical eyes. It sees beyond our regular, what we know and experience as our senses. It's like a knowing without a knowing. It's like a heart, I mean, I call it sometimes a heart consciousness, the sacred heart. And that I speak to that in my book on the story of the gift with a gift within a sacred womb, gifts within a sacred womb. Mm-hmm. And I speak to my vision. It may we all live from the sacred heart, through the sacred heart, as the sacred heart, through every thought, word, and deed. And that is part of the connection to the higher consciousness, which is of the heart. The heart doesn't judge. The heart doesn't rationalize or justify. The heart just knows. So how to connect with that and live from that space. That's a whole other book and conversation. However, I can speak to it in just a simple tool or exercise, if you would like me to share. Or...
Sure, absolutely.
So how I connect with my higher consciousness, and I feel strongly that the more we have that intent to connect, just with the intent, the pure intent to connect with that higher consciousness, with the heart, the connection gets stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like a muscle. We use a muscle, it gets stronger. The more we connect consciously, the more the connection becomes part of our subconscious. And it's like, that's how we live our life, is from that sacred heart space, that higher consciousness space. So you can imagine that there's a golden sphere of pure light coming down from higher realms of existence, coming down from source. And just visualize this golden sphere with your intent to allow it. And within that golden sphere, pure light, is your higher consciousness, your higher wisdom, your higher calling, your higher purpose, your heart consciousness. And you can place your hand on your heart and ask the question, if I could connect with my sacred heart in the chamber within my sacred heart and bring down my soul sphere, my higher consciousness through my higher chakras and crown, and just allow that light to come down through your crown and into your heart. Just with your intent to do so and absorb this light in your heart, your sacred heart.
This is something that I find so fascinating.
And express gratitude to this divine connection that always was and always will be.
This is something that I find so fascinating, Glenda Ray, in terms of the people I've come in contact with, especially in my early days as a metaphysician, and literally in my 20s, late teens and 20s, and into my 30s, and just those experiences of being around people who, they weren't perfect human beings, but at least they were doing the best that they could to surround themselves with the kind of people and experiences that fostered and helped to support a life that was of greater meaning, of greater purpose, of greater intent for themselves as well as others. And yeah, I have to say too that even I would acknowledge and agree that, you know what? There's a certain selfishness in this process, because I want something more for my life, but it's also a selflessness, because I want more for other people's lives too. And if I can learn it and share it, such as you are learning it and sharing it with others through your healing work and so forth, and especially one of your books, of course, Transformational Meditation, which we'll get into too, it goes a long way. It really does go a long way to helping people to understand the process of life, if you will, in this material world, its temporalness, and what is really important in the overall or grand scheme of things. You know, the title of the book that you've contributed your articles, your stories to, is called Chaos to Clarity. But there are those who would say there is no such thing as chaos. For example, if you were to take a look through, say, the Hubble telescope at the cosmos, the macrocosm, macrocosmic world, the stuff is just happening. That's just what happens. That's just the way that it is. We're the ones who say it's chaos. That's our human perspective. And the same thing on the microcosmic world. And yet we ooh and then we awe like we're watching fireworks on both levels. But when it comes to our level, I call it the mid-cosmic world, we just go nuts. We either high over the moon with excitement and joy and happiness and bliss, or we're down in the dumps and at the bottom of the well, and you know, there's no place that you
That's polarity.
Yeah.
That's polarity. So it's going beyond the polarity to integrate the polar opposites. So everything just simply is as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no right, there's no wrong, there's no good, there's no bad. It simply is what it is, and embrace what it is.
Yeah.
And without the label, it just simply is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned my book, Transformative Meditation. So in that book, I share healing journeys and I guide the readers on these multidimensional transformative meditation journeys to assist in their transformation and empowerment and integrating these healing journeys, not to say that any particular healing journey is the answer, but what I'm saying is what tends to happen for people is that they all of a sudden wake up one day and they find themselves, oh my God, I didn't judge it. I didn't label it. I didn't see it the same way I saw it before.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that bird eating the worm out in the tree has a whole different meaning for me.
Yeah.
It's like things start changing for people in their own experience and around them because they are beginning to see things from a higher perspective, a higher calling, a higher level of consciousness, which does not label. Doesn't justify, doesn't try to make sense of. They become more embracers of the life experience and, you know, see everything as a gift.
Yeah.
And just, there's so much more. There's this, you know,
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why when I took a look at, for example, that one biblical passage that I quoted it prior to that, you know, his disciples are asking him as he's doing these miracles over time, wow, this is pretty cool stuff. Hey, can we do that? And he says, yeah, sure, absolutely. But you're going to do greater works. And what I believe the greater works are transforming our lives, are changing our lives from what they are, as good as they might be, to something even greater than they already are, to helping others to transform their lives, to not just become productive members of society, but to move from thrival, as I like to say, to from survival to thrival. We, you know, why are we not thriving as a species? We have so much power, don't we?
Yes. We are master creators of our reality. And if we don't like what we're experiencing, we have all the tools, all the power, all the gifts, everything inside of us to transform it into something else.
What is your connection, if you will, with the Sacred Stories Publishing Company? How did you connect with them, or they with you, to bring you into this wonderful group of people?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. Yes. So I found myself on the, you know, LinkedIn one day, and I saw this video, and what resonated me to, you know, to actually watch it and listen to it was one of the facilitators that I had experienced one of her meditation journeys years and years ago, and really, really resonated with the healing light and information that she was bringing forth through the meditation. It was a video meditation. And So that was my yes. Yes, yes, yes. You're being called to listen and watch this. So I did. And I just so more deeply resonated with what they were bringing forth through the author summit video that I was watching. And I was guided to connect with Sacred Stories Publishing. And I connected with them, and then I was given some opportunities and some offerings to bring forth my sacred stories within me to share with others. And so
in light of the work that you do, the energy and healing work, and again, we're using the labels only because it helps people to understand a little. How did that begin for you? Did you come out of the womb throwing this energy around, trying to help people? Or did this insight come to you?
I love that question. Love that question. So I would say about 2020 almost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or probably many, many years ago. You know, because there's really no, you know, linear pinpoint of time, because in order for it to happen in this lifetime, it had to happen in another lifetime. So it could be many lifetimes ago, but just for the sake of sharing a point in this lifetime, I would say about 10 years ago, I woke up one day and I got the message. You are being guided and called to work as an energy healer and share your wisdom and the key codes from your transformation and your inner truths, your deep wisdom inside of you. You're being guided to share this with the world. This is your higher calling. And I woke up and I'm like, oh my God, really? And so I called up one of the first healers that crossed my path. And I said to him, may I come and join you for coffee today? He said, sure. We met and I shared this with him. And he said to me, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that this is the calling that you have said yes to? And I said, yes, why are you asking me that? He says, are you sure? I said, yeah, of course. It was like, it came to me. And he says, because the minute you declare that, you're going to go on a transformational journey of a lifetime. And I said, why? He said, because in order for you to hold space, sacred space for the healing of others and the transformation of others, you are going to heal much within you in order to, and not to say that there's a beginning or an end to that healing and transformation, it's infinite, but you're going to go on a transformational healing journey of a lifetime. Are you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, I guess I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, that's what happened. I was literally catapulted on a powerful, powerful journey of healing that just literally was spontaneous. It just happened because in that declaration, in that saying yes to that calling, that has to happen. It just happens organically, because anything that's interfering with me holding sacred space, it has to fall away.
Well, that's an exciting story, and I have to say that it would be nice if we all had those kinds of experiences that defined our path in life, if you will, so that we really knew that we knew that we knew. It's one of those things that Greg Braden and I talked about on our program a few years back when he came out with The Healing Power of Belief. And he said that one day we will no longer believe. We will just know that we know. And even to this day, there are those who will make claims of certain things. And I say, well, but that's a belief. That's not a knowing. Well, how do I know? You know what I'm saying? How in the world do I know that that you didn't have that experience? And so I never discount what someone says to me in regards to a particular experience that they had, because it has now shaped who they are. They have been changed and transformed by that experience to go down that particular path that they are going down. And it's just, to me, it's an extraordinary thing for some people who are willing to do that. There are people like, for example, Edgar Cayce, born-again Christian, and yet he continued to do these channelings throughout his life in spite of his beliefs, you know, and in spite of what he believed in. He still did it. And I'm wondering if you've ever run into people like that, My personal beliefs are this, but it's like, I know that I got to keep doing this. And yet it goes so contrary to what I believe, you know, and it's obviously that means that maybe there's a need for reevaluating one's beliefs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. There can be a sort of, a contradicting belief that is, you know, almost opposing that which we are being guided to bring forth. Here again, it feels like it's going back to intent. So the intent, the pure intent to bring forth inner truth, inner wisdom, healing tools, whatever you want to call it, inside of you, from your own journey, from your own healing and transformation, because that's how it is. That is how I feel it is the medicine. There's codes, there's key codes within that medicine from your own journey. And that's your authentic medicine. Those are your authentic gifts that you brought here. Not to say that there is a fixed number. It's infinite too, because you're always transforming, and so you're always gaining new wisdom and information and healing and key codes from that transformation that you may share with others. So the pure intent to share what is deep inside you to assist in transformation and healing of Mother Earth and all of her beings, that is going to, I feel, naturally, if there are any beliefs that are incongruent with the higher calling, are going to fall away. So they may be there in the background. However, and I feel they will naturally fall away, because what you are offering is from the purity of your heart to assist on a higher level of consciousness, a higher calling, a higher purpose.
Fascinating stuff, and I have to tell you that it's exciting to talk with you about these things. I'm curious, as we come to the end of our time together here, talking about Chaos to Clarity and your contributions to the sacred stories. Yours is one of the sacred stories of transformation. I am curious as to what you feel or are moved to share with us as, say, one of the greatest or most important messages or insights as I say, up to this point that you have received that you would like to share with us?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That we are master creators of our reality, that we have all the tools within us to redesign our reality, to create a reality of our heart's desire, and that we are able to integrate lessons through self-realization. That we are the master creator, we are also the master healer of our own life, our own experiences. That we can integrate lessons through self-realization, and that power resides within the heart. And, you know, inviting people to be curious of how they may live from their sacred heart through every thought, word, and deed, and that they have all the power within them to create what they desire to create for themselves in their life. And that with their purity of intent to assist others with the gifts that they brought here uniquely, the talents they brought here uniquely, that pure intent to serve, to go beyond the I to the we consciousness. I wonder how I may serve with my gifts. I wonder how I may bring forth authentic wisdom from my inner truths, from my journey, and share them with the world.
Well, Glenda Ray, again, I thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us here on this program and giving us so much time. It's been an interesting journey in creating these wonderful interviews with the folks who have contributed to the Sacred Stories of Transformation in Chaos to Clarity. And this will continue throughout the entire month of January 2020 as we share these programs on the radio program, as well as release them one at a time on our podcasting site, which is Spotify. And I am greatly appreciative of the work that you're doing to help the rest of us to heal those issues that we've got and move forward. You know, one of the questions, and before we wrap up, again, thank you so much for so much time. And boy, it'd be great to have you come to Santa Barbara to sit in studio and chat. I'm sure that we would glean even more from you at that particular point in time. And I love the energy that is created within the studio. But again, if it's Zoom or Skype or whatever it is, we'll have you back again.
Thank you. I would love that.
And I do have three final questions, but one of the questions that kind of came to me as you were sharing there, having to do with healing. Mm-hmm. What is it on the deepest level? I mean, it's one thing for the bones, say, of a broken arm to knit back together and to refortify the strength of that arm. But there's got to be something more going on a much deeper level when we are in the need of physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual healing. What is really going on there?
What is really going on there?
I mean, it's not just the knitting of the bones or the healing of the tissue or getting a grasp on emotional issues and so forth. It seems to me like there's something else there, and maybe we're using the wrong word. We're getting realigned or properly aligned or something of that nature. I'm not sure. I'd love your thoughts on that.
It's almost like we are, again, it's back to intent with, you know, with the pure intent to to allow the healing, and at the same time getting out of one's way. Like, it's like if you try to do anything, you try to write a book, you try to heal something, trying of in any way, shape, or form creates more trying, because you're basically telling yourself that you really don't really know what you're doing. You're trying to do it. So it's like not trying, it's getting out of the way to allow the pure light of healing, whatever form, however you may describe that, whether that's the green healing ray of the sun, or whether you're connecting with a star, or you're connecting with source energy and allowing it to channel through your hands and out into the person's body. It's having the pure intent to assist in the healing, and then getting out of the way of your mind, getting out of your way of trying to create an outcome, or even getting out of your way of the healing. Of it's like visualizing the person perfectly whole and complete exactly as they are, and just allowing the magic to literally unfold through you as a, you know, as a vessel of channeling that energy. So it's, you know, it's, yeah, there's a whole lot more going on than the knitting of the bone. Mm-hmm. I would say it's, you know, it's, again, it's hard to articulate, but it's a sense of allowing, getting out of the way, but not trying to get out of the way. So it's like that middle point of, for example, if I can give another example, somebody, a healer friend of mine had asked me to edit his book. And when I was reading his manuscript, I didn't understand it because I was in my mind. I did not understand what I was reading. And I could read it for sometimes 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then I'd have to put the book down. Sometimes I could read it for longer, and then I'd put it down. So I said to myself, okay, what is it that I'm being guided to do or not do, or experience this in a different way, a different energy, a different perspective? What am I being called to explore, to allow? And with that pure intent of asking, the most magical thing happened is that, and it was like, it's even hard to articulate what happened. What it felt like was I went into almost a meditative state that I didn't even know what time it was. I had no idea what time it was until I got up at some point and looked at the clock. I'm like, oh my goodness, like 3 hours just went by. How did that happen? Because I was not in my mind anymore. I was not trying to understand. I was not trying to create an outcome. I simply allowed, without even trying to allow, that middle sort of middle point happened, where I was editing the words, but I wasn't asking my mind what goes there. Is it a comma? Is it a semicolon? Do I omit the word? My mind wasn't doing it. I was in a different level of consciousness, a different state, a different energy of being that I can say is hard to articulate, but it, and that created the magic. So the healing of the bones, oh, there is so much more going on than the knitting of the bones. It's an allowing without trying to make happen.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, visualizing it already done, already healed. There's so much going on there.
Well, again, I think that there's still a lot more questions I have, but we don't have that much time for the rest of the program here, or we would never end it, because I'm always coming up with new questions to ask. But I'm going to wrap this up with the three questions I love asking my guests, and you may have addressed them to some degree during the program, but I'd just like to ask them directly. And the first one is, who is Glenda Ray Revere?
Revere. Who is Glenda Ray Revere? What a question. Who am I? So do you mean what am I bringing forth to the world? Or do you mean, like, can you be a little more specific on that question? And
actually, whatever comes to you is the answer.
Okay, thank you. So who is Glenda Ray Revere? Mm-hmm. I feel that she is a being that came here to this earth to assist in the transformation and empowerment of Mother Earth and all of her beings, and the journey back home to the heart, to live from the Sacred Heart, through the Sacred Heart, as the Sacred Heart, through every thought, word, and deed, and help raise the consciousness of our planet and integrate through self-realization to realize that we are the master creators of our reality and that we have all the power within us to redesign it however we choose. But I feel like I came here to assist in that journey, in that remembrance that we are the gift exactly as we are, and that we are whole, perfect, and complete exactly as that we are, and everything is within us.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I feel like I answered that on some level within the first question. I feel like my desire is to assist in the raising the consciousness of our planet and all of our beings, to assist in the transformation and empowerment for the highest good of all, to assist in the awakening, to assist in living from that Sacred Heart space, to help people remember, help them to remember that they are the gift exactly as they are. Who they are is the gift.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
What is my life's purpose?
Yes.
My life's purpose. My higher calling in this life is I feel like I shared it already through the other two questions, that I'm a wayshore, I help people reconnect and remember who they are, the gift that they are exactly as they are, to help them realize that everything that they need is already within them, to help people live from their heart space, to help them connect with those inner deep truths within them, to bring forth their wisdom to the world. Because when one shares their, you know, their unique gifts and messages and wisdom within them, it creates a space for others to step into their light and their gifts and their messages that they brought forth. So healing for one is healing for all.
Well, Glenda Ray, I want to thank you again for joining us here on the program. Greatly appreciate it, and I certainly look forward to talking with you again in the not-too-distant future. I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, a special edition dealing with chaos to clarity, the book published by SacredStoriesPublishing.com, and you can go to SacredStoriesPublishing.com to find out more about the book, Chaos to Clarity. And again, my thanks to Glenda Ray Revere, for sharing her stories and her insights into, again, so many different things that we just don't have enough time for all of it. But what I will tell you is that we will be back next time. And just remember, 2020 is the year of perfect vision. Join us in that. And if you'd like to join our project here, and that is trying to educate and incite inspire and encourage people to evolve and transform their lives, we would greatly appreciate that support as well. And until next time, here on Tell Me Your Story, I'm Richard Dugan. Love, Talal.